Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
Here.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back. It's the final hour of In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. 3 hours of yummy fantasy goodness.
Oh, God. Why would you do that?
Just looking for reactions. That's all. Just a little human interaction, Bogman.
You know what I have to do before I have to listen to the podcast that I don't like before this game? Of course.
Oh, the Steeler podcast thing that you do?
Yeah.
Are you going to do that?
I'm going to, yeah. It worked last week. Got to do it.
What are you
going
to do when they lose? Oh, how mad would you be this week if they lost to the Bengals? Are they the worst? Is that the number one?
No.
It's, rivalry?
Still the Ravens. But really? The Bengals are pretty close. Yeah. I hate losing to the Bengals because it's embarrassing. Like, it's embarrassing to lose to the Bengals. Losing to the
That's
to
how
the
I feel
Ravens.
About the Cardinals or the 49ers. That's funny right. You say that. Like, the Seahawks and Rams are different. The Cardinals are embarrassing.
Right, right. The Browns are really embarrassing. But this and Bengals are, I don't know. I'm kind of confident going into this game, which is usually not good for me, just because everyone seems to be picking the Bengals. And I'm like, do you not know the history of this matchup? Like, usually the Steelers win, even when the Steelers aren't that good, especially if it's a playoff game. So, I don't know. I don't really fear the Bengals as much as other people do. Fire up that escalator of shame.
Yeah, so I'm looking for.
Do you know what I'm talking about? There's a big escalator going from the first deck to the second deck of Paul Brown Stadium.
I would never know that.
And just after the Steelers beat the Bengals in the last playoff game, you know, the one with Perfect and he hit Antonio Brown and Pac-Man getting all the flags and everything, you just see these sad people hanging their heads coming down the escalator of shame. It is one of the funniest things ever. The most horrific part about
it's
this
like
game,
the Diamondbacks one on the side of the building.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just like when we lost to the Dodgers, same escalator of shame.
Yep.
So right there.
We were there.
But the worst part about this matchup this week is that the arrests after the game are always numerous and plentiful. Like because Cincinnati and Pittsburgh are not a far drive away from each other. People from Cincinnati go to Pittsburgh. People from Pittsburgh go to Cincinnati whenever this game matches up. And there is always a massive amount of arrests.
I mean, at least people don't get stabbed in the neck or whatever like it does in the Bay Area.
After the playoff game, all I was reading was Bengal fans punching lady Steeler fans in the face, men punching women in the face, and vice versa. Steeler fans punching lady Bengal fans in the face.
Are all these women getting punched?
I think they get in these drunk guys' faces, and the drunk guys are too drunk to realize who's in front of them, and they just punch them. They don't care who it is. Like, all I read, I was like, why are so many women
hard working,
in the face?
Working class there.
Yeah, I have no idea what it was, but when I was reading the reports from last year, it was one of those, not TMZ, what's the other one that I can't think of the name of right now?
Oh, I don't know.
Deadspin. It was on Deadspin, and it was like a bunch of women got punched in the face after the Steelers-Bengals playoff game.
Good
and I was
Lord.
Like, what the hell is this? And I was reading through it, and it's just so many of them.
Good. Well, okay, let's start with your awesome game then. Let's just kick it there.
Let's talk about last week real quick.
Oh, yeah, yeah. How did
we can.
Do? Can we?
Well, I was 6-8 against the spread, so that's not good. It's better than I've been doing.
Yeah,
but 10-4 on the over unders.
Wow!
You were 7-7.
Look at that,
and also 10-4 on the over.
Didn't lose you any money. I made you money on the over unders. If you played them. Look at that.
Boom!
Very sexy.
We're plugged in now.
All right. I'm a 500 spread, and I'm a big winner on the over-unders. Bogman's a big winner on the over-unders, and
just a notch under adequate on the spread. So we'll try to see how we can do this week. So since we talked about it, let's just actually jump to your game here.
Okay.
The Bengals are favored by 1.5. They are the home team.
1.5. This moved. I put these up yesterday. It moved from 2.5.
Yeah, that's what I got here. ESPN, 1.5. The over-under is 50.5. That moved to?
Yeah, it was 53.
All right, well.
Jeez. Actually, you know what? I think I put these up 2 days ago. So that is 2 days of movement.
Okay. Roethlisberger, it is road Roethlisberger, which can always be a little bit fearful. It is interesting to see from a yards perspective that Juju Smith-Schuster is the leader for the Pittsburgh Steelers, 450 on the season. James Conner coming off of a nice week, and we'll see if that continues. And I'm curious if it's going to kind of keep going as Lev Bell, the week eight stuff approaches for Lev Bell. Joe Mixon, he was fully unleashed. This is a great matchup for Bengals. What do you think about the running end of this? Because like AJ Green and Tyler Boyd to me are no doubters. And that's why like in DFS, I stacked the tight end and Tyler Boyd just because Pittsburgh's pass defense is garbage. But what do you think about a guy like Joe Mixon in this game?
You know, I played a little bit better against Atlanta, and I know that was at home, but it just felt like they schemed a little bit better last week. So I think Joe Mixon should have a decent game. I think both these teams are probably going to want to run the ball to keep it out of the hands of the other team. So I'm actually going to go under on this game. I know that this seems like two good offenses, and especially, you know, Cincinnati's defense has been playing well, but Pittsburgh's offense is good. But I'm going to take the Steelers and go under.
Which running back do you like better here? Do you like Connor or do you like Mixon?
That's a good question. I think I'm still going to say I like Mixon better. Just to see him coming off that injury and get so many carries and look so useful was pretty good.
What do you think? I'm literally pulling them up, so I don't have them yet. But what do you think the overall Fantasy Pros consensus on the running backs is for PPR?
Okay, so I'm going to say Mixon is 7.
Okay.
And Connor is 11.
So you got a number right, but James Connor is 7.
7, okay.
Joe Mixon, 9. Behind 9. James Connor this week.
So okay.
The consensus want James Connor at 7, Joe Mixon at 9, but both nice clear-cut RB1s this week that are fitting in there. But so, okay, so you said you're clearly going to go Pittsburgh. That's no surprise to anybody.
Yes.
And then you're taking the under on it.
Going to take the under. I think the defense played better last week, but it is still Roe Roethlisberger. So Pittsburgh in the under. This game could definitely be a field goal game.
So then let me ask you, because I was going to say, is this a clear-cut start everybody? But if you think it's going to go the under, is that not the case then? Because this seems like one of those games where
I think you have to start everybody. You know, I think just in case. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that we going to not start Julio last week?
I'm not quite saying that, but I'm saying like you're not going to not start Mixon. You're not going to not start Antonio Brown or AJ Green. But I'm saying like, is this to get all the guys in? Like Boyd, like I talked about.
That's it. That's the only. Yeah, and the tight ends. But I would definitely start. I would definitely start Uzuma in this game because Vince Williams is going to be back and LJ Ford is out. And LJ Ford is way more fast and athletic. Nobody can really cover a tight end for the Steelers. So I Uzuma, I think, is good to go. But I think Tyler Boyd, it should be good too because Artie Burns is terrible. So, he should at least have a decent game. I think AJ Green could be shut down, but I also wouldn't be surprised to see AJ Green score 3 touchdowns. It just depends on what Joe Hayden shows up. So Joe Hayden's also been banged up this year. So if he does something the first quarter, AJ Green will absolutely torch the Steelers secondary.
Do you think there's a possibility that, not that it maybe hasn't already happened, but can Connor, how am I trying to say this? Do you think this is a game where if Connor can really bust through, if they commit to running and he really shows what he has, do you think the comfortability level, like what I'm trying to get at is, could he make everybody feel comfortable moving forward that, you know what, there's no questions, we don't need Lev Bell here? Could this be a game that establishes even more so that the Steelers can move on from Lev Bell because James Connor is completely replacing his production at every level?
I think that's already been established.
Okay, so it has been.
Yeah, I think so. They need to use him more than they have in some past games. But also, you know, the defense has been bad, and they get behind early and they have to throw the ball. So Connor comes out of the game plan in those cases. But I don't think Le'Veon Bell would have much more of an impact. But I think that if Bell comes back, Connor doesn't wholly and completely go to the bench, but he goes to the bench. Le'Veon Bell's better back. So,
all right, we'll start back at the top here because we just were talking about Steelers.
Well, what did you pick? I said Pittsburgh and the under.
Oh, yeah.
Pick.
I'm going to go with this is a tough one.
Huh. I already have yours in there.
I am going to go with Pittsburgh in the over.
Okay, I had Cincinnati in the over.
I was thinking about Cincinnati. I was really thinking Cincinnati there, but I'll go Pittsburgh. I'll go with the away team. That's a tough one. By the way, Lions and Saints, they have the bye week. So for everybody to monitor for those guys, they
just
are
got
out.
Ingram back, and Ingram's gone.
And he's gone. The first game up, though, that we skipped over is the Buccaneers at the Falcons. The 2-2 Bucks. They are starting Jameis Winston. He's our new quarterback. Yeah, he's the guy that's going out. And the Falcons, the Falcons are 1-4. Not the expectation that I believe many had for this game or either one of these teams coming in. Huge over. It's a 57. Atlanta is favored by 3 at home. Matt Ryan has been very good this season. There's no Devontae Freeman. It's going to be the Tevin Coleman show, or mostly the Tevin Coleman show until a touchdown is needed, and then Ito Smith comes in and vultures it. That's usually how that goes. Calvin Ridley, Mohamed Sanu, Julio Jones, they're all in play. The bigger question is not, this isn't an Atlanta question. It's about Tampa Bay, because as most know and most are speculating, that like the Tampa offense is going to change. And the question marks are, is Cameron Brate now a tight end one? Can DeSean Jackson still be valuable with Jameis Winston? How does Chris Godwin look? And what running back is going to show up this week? So that's a lot of questions. Let's start with the running backs then. What do you think? I mean, you and I have both been leaning Ronald Jones for the week. Has that wavered at all with Jameis Winston?
I think this is the perfect time to put in Ronald Jones. You know what I mean? Peyton Barber has been completely ineffective. You're coming off the bye week. Maybe Winston and Jones can be practicing together a little bit. I think that it's Ronald Jones. Now, they may do a split just because you don't want to overwhelm the guy in his first.
But what, he had 10 carries last week?
Right, yeah.
Maybe 14.
I mean, he got a little bit. But to be honest, I think they might start Ronald Jones. So, but I also, Dirk Cutter's so stupid and crazy. Like, how pissed would you be if Ronald Jones is inactive this game?
I would be infuriated, to be honest.
And how surprised would you be?
None.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. he could go from anywhere from starting to being inactive because Dirk Cutter's act kind of crazy. But I think that this is a perfect time to install him, so I think he's going to be the guy. Let me ask you this. How many passing yards a game do you think that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are giving up? They're dead last in passing.
It's got to be a lot. I want to say 375.
358.
Oh, wow. I mean, and that's the most in the NFL, right?
Yeah, it's the most in the NFL.
What's the second?
Giving up,
do you know?
I don't have it. I have that the Falcons are giving up 277, and they're tied for 23rd. So, but these overall defenses are 31st for Tampa Bay and 28th for Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
That's why I was picking Mike Evans and Julio Jones in my lineups. So,
I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
Neither one of these teams have any defense at all. So on the Atlanta side, the Welsh, you think Tevin Coleman can flourish, or what about Judge Ito Smith?
I mean, nothing with Ito Smith for me. This is all Tevin Coleman. I was rolling Tevin Coleman out. I think, I don't know if I did it in both, but at least one of my DFS lineups.
Yeah, I did. I did in my second one. So
moving it back, not to move away from Tevin Coleman, but I don't want to have the camera break conversation, but what do you think about DeSean Jackson? DeSean Jackson really was a force at the beginning of the year, tapered down a little bit. And ironically, just Fitzpatrick and Winston are just the different quarterbacks in the respect of how they view the offense and how they view their weapons. Do you think Jackson is going to be able to still flourish and be even a wide receiver 3? Or do you think he's going to taper? I guess, would you even bother going this week until you see what happens? Would you bench him purposefully?
No, I think I don't think you can. If he's a flex option, I think you got to give him this week because it's up against such a bad pass defense in Atlanta. So I think that this is the perfect week to play him with Winston if you're going to, because we know that DeSean Jackson doesn't need much, you know, three catches and he could win you your week, you know. And also, I don't know if you knew this, he's the number one rated wide receiver on Pro Football Focus so far this year.
Really?
DeSean Jackson, number one.
Well, what's the bearing? Is it just like...
Well, it's on plays and catchable balls and all that stuff. I mean, obviously, he has a lower sample size than a guy who has super high volume like Michael Thomas. You know, but the really good ones are just, they're all below DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm looking point-wise, too. He's in the, and hasn't Tampa Bay had a bye week, too?
Yeah, they had, last week was the bye.
They had a bye week, and he's in the range of, like, I mean, Jesus, I'm looking. I see Mike Evans,
270 yard Sanders, games.
Tyler Lockett. So, you know, I mean,
what's his per game? Can you see his per game? I'll try to look it up.
Yeah, I don't see his per game here. I just see the totals here. But he's in the same brain. John Brown, Brandon Cooks, Tyler Boyd, Sterling Shepard. I mean, he's been in that range. It's a low end wide receiver two, high end wide receiver three. I think it's a great point. You don't not play him here. You got to play him. But I do think there is general worry. And
in PPR, by the way, which doesn't do DeSean Jackson favors, he's 11th per game.
No kidding.
He's behind Tyreek, Kiki QT, Stephon Diggs, AB, Adams, Kupp, Hopkins, Evans, Michael Thomas, and Adam Thielen.
What do you think? How much do you think changes now?
DeSean Jackson having a bad game surprises no one because he's so boom or bust. He's your wide receiver three or he's your flex. So I don't know that expectations change that much unless he's been playing well for you and you expect that stuff out of him.
You want a stat?
Okay, yeah, let's hear the stat.
Of the top 25 wide receivers in PPR, he has the lowest amount of receptions of any.
Yeah.
Of any.
Yeah. I mean, he does it. I mean, he does a lot with a little. So, you know, run some screen passes for him. And that's the problem with Jameis is, you know, it's progressions and setup plays. He doesn't always have that accurate deep ball. I don't know. I think this is the game you play him. And hopefully he doesn't see zero targets or one target from Jameis.
And hopefully. All right. We'll be back on the other side of the break to break down the rest of these week six games. So don't go anywhere.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
It's not what you did, son, that angers me, son. It's who you did it to.
Who? Nobody?
That nobody.
ITL.
BetDSI is celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They've got great customer service and fast, easy payment of winnings. That's the best part, by the way. You can play virtually every sport at BetDSI with hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering on all major sporting events where you can make your play at any time during the game. BetDSI is now offering up to a $1,000 bonus on your first deposit if you use promo code FNTSY. That's BetDSI.com, promo code FNTSY. So head on over to BetDSI and start winning today. All right, welcome back. Sorry, we were right up against a break there. And as Bogman pointed out, we didn't even get to freaking pick the game.
<this one. laughs>
There's so much to talk about in it. We didn't even get to pick the game.
I mean, it's the highest over. It should be one of the most fun ones to watch. It's not actually not the highest over.
It's
not that I have. I didn't even hear your spread. What was the spread that you had on it?
I've got Atlanta favored by 3, over under is 57.
57, okay. So they both moved by a half point. It was Atlanta by 3.5, 57.5.
I'm going to take the under.
Are you going to take the under? All right, but who are you going to pick to win?
I'm going to pick Atlanta.
Atlanta in the under.
I feel foolish because I keep taking Atlanta and they're not good.
Yeah, but Tampa Bay is not good either.
Yeah, but so. Winston could light a fire back under this team.
You think so?
Yeah,
you think they're going to eat a W this week?
They could steal some W's.
James
likes to do that.
They're going to put them down their pants like their crab legs.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Atlanta in the over. These defenses are so pathetic.
Oh, no, you went Atlanta. You went.
Yeah, I went Atlanta. I went with the home team. Yeah, I kind of want to go Tampa Bay coming off the bye. I just don't believe in them. So
no, Dirk Cutter's their coach. Until he's not their coach, it's going to be hard not to. It's going to be hard to root for them at any.
We don't like him because he coached ASU into the ground.
Yeah,
so
he's a loser. Yeah, and he also like quarterback's father yelled at him, so he benched the other quarterback in favor of that quarterback because he got yelled at. Like, give me a break. Oh, I almost lost $100.
Oh,
almost. That was what I was about to call him. All right, next game up is the Chargers, the LA Clippers at the Browns, the 2-2 Browns, the 2-2-1 Browns, and the 3-2 Chargers. The Browns are the Browns are a favorite. Oh my
god!
2 days
ago, good lord, everything changed.
They are a 1-point favorite.
Okay.
Oh my god, the over under is 46. Phillip Rivers, he's been beast this year. Carlos Hyde's hit the 100. He's at the century carry mark with 348 yards, 5 touchdowns. It is very interesting how much preseason talk, you know, and credit to you. You sold me very early on the idea that, like, they're going to run Carlos Hyde into the ground. And we are walking into week 6 and he's got 100 carries.
I even changed my mind on that after Nick Chubb looked so good on those 3 carries for 100 yards, and I said, no, he's got to get a decent amount of carries this week, and he didn't. He got 3 more for 5 yards.
It's just always Chubb. I think this could be like kind of back in the direction of Chubb a little bit, but it doesn't mean Carlos Hyde's not going to get his carries. He always does. Melvin Gordon's a beast. Carlos Hyde, kind of a beast. Eckler and Chubb could both be interesting options. On the receiving end, Keenan Allen, we got to get touchdowns. He's been a disappointment. Jarvis Landry has been fine. I mean, Landry and Keenan Allen have been very similar. You know, just okay in PPR, no great touchdowns. I don't think living up to the hype. There's a couple lower options that are fun, deep plays in Mike Williams and Antonio Callaway here. And David Njoku, I'd like for this to be an Njoku game. But what do you think about the Clippers and the Browns?
You know, I think the most surprising stat in this is that Jarvis Landry averages more yards per catch than Keenan Allen.
No kidding.
13.14 to 11.63.
Those got to be toward. What's the league average? Because I bet both of those are towards the bottom.
I don't know what the league average is, but you PPR guys, you know, usually are lower. But Jarvis Landry is like the PPR guy. Like, he takes them behind the line and everything. So, this one to me is. I think Cleveland's defense is good. So now when you look at stats, it doesn't look good. They're giving up 398 yards per game. So they're ranked 27th. But you also got to remember that they've played almost 3 full extra quarters in these games. They've almost played another game in 3 of their games, or another quarter in 3 of their games. Uh-huh. They've gone to overtime 3 times already. So,
that's a good point.
You know, as far as points go, they're 12th.
Are you
in the league?
Going to pick the Browns?
I am going to take the Cleveland Browns because the Chargers generally don't travel well across the country. So I'm going to take the Cleveland Browns and take the under in this game. I think that this could be a Phillip Rivers road mistake game, and maybe he throws a couple picks. And it's exactly what they just did to the Baltimore Ravens. You know, they held them to a low amount of points. It was 12-9 that game. So I think this defense is for real, and I think that they are, you know, they didn't have a good game against Oakland, but look at the points they've given up. It was they gave up 17 to the Jets. They gave up 21 to New Orleans on the road. They gave up 21 to Pittsburgh, who has a high-octane offense. So they just had that bad Oakland game. So, which was mired with a couple turnovers themselves, gave the Raiders some short fields and stuff like that. So, I'm gonna take Cleveland in the under in this one.
I can't be the guy that's gonna be like, this is the time that the Browns are over 500. I don't believe it, even if it's at home. I mean, I think they're a way better team. This is not the Browns we've known in the past.
No,
Baker Mayfield is also a little bit mistake ridden right now. You know, he's still showing some of that though. He has been fantastic.
Led him to a win last week.
Yeah, no, I mean, he has been fantastic, but
only thing Oklahoma won last week.
You just had to get that in.
Yep.
You just had to. I would say that I'm going to go with the Chargers here. I think the Chargers are going to come in. They need this win as much as anybody right now. I think they're a talented team. I think this could be a Keenan Allen game. We can get back to that. Melvin Gordon is going to be the Gordon Eckler duo is going to be something the Browns are going to have fits with, I think, in this game. And I'm not saying the Chargers are going to run away with it, but I do think this could be actually an early Chargers run away with. Then maybe second half, some issues with Rivers. They come back a little bit, but at the end of the day, the Chargers take this game. And the over-under is the tough part. I am going to go... Give me the over.
So, yeah, I already wrote it down. Chargers in the over?
Yeah. You already know. Yeah. All right.
Cleveland in the under, so.
All right. Complete opposites here. Next game up, it is the Seattle Seahawks, the 2-3 Seahawks going into the 1-4 Oakland Raiders, soon to be Las Vegas, John Gruden's, whatever. Derek Carr, 1,600 yards on the season so far, only 7 touchdowns. I'm trying to look here, like, who has less? Of the starting quarterbacks who started every game, Bogman, is there a quarterback that has... Alex Smith has less. Only 4 touchdowns right now. And I'm looking to see if there's any other. No. I don't see a single other besides Alex Smith, who started the season, is the only quarterback with less touchdowns than stupid Derek Carr. And that team, all they do is pass the ball. He's had...
7 touchdowns and 8 picks.
He's had 202 pass attempts. I'm trying to look at, like, how many over 200? Well, I guess there's, I mean, Roethlisberger, Kirk Cousins. Let's see if I can see Andrew Luck, 245 pass attempts. Okay. Well, either way, with the Raiders against Seattle, there's a whole lot going on here. It's a revenge game for Marshawn
Lynch.
What's
the numbers you have on this one?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Seattle is favored by 2.5.
Okay.
And the over-under is 48.5 here.
48.5.
Marshawn Lynch revenge game, definitely an important plot point to consider. You've hopefully got maybe a little bit healthier, maybe less decoy Doug Baldwin. That's going to be some of the hope, but people have really turned their sights on it. What do you think about this game? Because I think Seattle has been keeping themselves around better,
right?
But like their 2-3 record is no surprise to me on how I thought they were going to be this year. But I don't have positive feelings for the Oakland Raiders in this game.
No, I mean, I think this game is purely your, who's the better quarterback game. And it is by far Russell Wilson. I mean, Russell Wilson has a lot of the same problems that Derek Carr has. He's got, you know, a lack of a running game, which Carr has a better running game in Marshawn Lynch and Doug Martin and Jalen Richard. I would say that Russell Wilson has the better targets, but Doug Baldwin's been hurt. So you probably have to give the edge in targets to Derek Carr this far in the season. But it's 10 touchdowns to 3 picks for Russell Wilson and 7-8 for Derek Carr. It's just Russell Wilson is by far the better quarterback. I'm going to take Seattle and the over in this one. 48.5 seems kind of low because I do think Oakland can score some points. Seattle's defense is not very... It's better than I thought it was going to be, but I still don't like it very much.
You know what's interesting?
Earl Thomas being out, it's obviously going to hurt them.
What do you think about this? Because what I think is interesting too, even though the Raiders have been kind of a cluster with what Gruden all did, the Raiders offense is a more talented offense than the Seahawks. Is that a false statement? Marshawn Lynch better than any running back Seattle has. I know we rag on Amari Cooper, but they also had Jordy Nelson out there compared to Doug Baldwin and Lockett. I mean, maybe that's questionable. They've got a better tight end. Russell Wilson is the better quarterback there, but I mean, maybe it's closer to
even. I think they're comparable, and you see Oakland is 6th in yards and Seattle's 27th, but Oakland has to play from behind so much. I mean, remember, they get a bunch of tired defenses in the fourth quarter because the defense has been on the field so much because the opposing team's offense scores so quickly. They're also 30th in points allowed, 29.8, the Raiders. Raiders just overall not a very good team.
No.
So I think this is an easy Seattle victory on the road, and I go with the over.
Yeah, I'm going to go with both of those. I'm going to go because it's no doubt Seattle. I had to think about the over-under, but yeah. This is
Oakland can put up some points late, you know, especially if Seattle gets up big. We like that garbage time to push.
They just love
overs.
To throw the ball 50 times a game. If they can
do
that, they're very happy about it. The Chicago Bears, I had to look here. I think I need glasses, Bogman. I can't sit away from anything anymore. It's a problem.
Lean in. What does it say?
I had to lean in. I was like leaning back and I'm like, is that 3 or a 4? The 3-1 Bears to the what is that? 3-2 Dolphins?
God, 3-2 blind. Dolphins. Jesus.
Jesus, man. Chicago's favored by 3.5. The over-under is 41.5. Jordan Howard coming off of a very forgettable game, also a bye week. So, you know, it's been 2 weeks of just miserable feelings that Jordan Howard owners have been just walking around with. They're just seething and 64 carries, 200 yards, yeah. Touchdown all season. Ryan Tannehill under 1,000 yards passing on the entire year. So your question marks here are, who the hell are the offensive weapons for the Dolphins, even though they've won three games? Well, maybe the first question is, how the hell did the Dolphins win three games? Then it's, where are the offensive weapons? On the Bears' end, it's, where's the offense going to focus with their weapons? Because 1 week it's Howard, 1 week it seems to be Cohen. They've got a litany of wide receivers, even to their tight end. So what do you make of this game? And is there any, like, very noticeable players that you would sit?
Let me ask you this. Is Chicago better than Tennessee, the Jets, and the Raiders?
Did you just answer my question with a question?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Can you repeat the question? I just
asked Chicago, are they better than Tennessee, the Jets, and the Raiders?
Yes.
Are they as good as, well, they're not as good as New England. Are they as good as the Cincinnati Bengals?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think the last two, those were the three games that this Dolphins team won. They beat the Titans 27-20 in Vrabel's first game coaching. Seems like he's gotten a lot better since then. They beat Sam Darnold in his second start ever, 20-12. They won that game. And then they beat the Raiders 28-20. Those are the three wins they have. They got smoked on the road against New England. They got smoked on the road against the Bengals. They do have this game at home, but Chicago's coming off the bye week. They got time to prepare. I feel like this is an easy Chicago win.
Yeah,
I don't
I'm
think
easy
that
Chicago.
The Dolphins are good at all.
This is one of the, but dude, this is one of those where we want to call up our bookie in Vegas. I want to put money on this game. I want to put money on the Bears. I'll take the line.
So, okay, I've definitely taken the Bears.
I'm not sold on the over-under, though.
Yeah, neither am I, because I don't know if Miami's going to score.
I could see this being 28-0.
I think I'm going to go with the under.
I'm going to go under, too. Chicago and the under. Let's mark that down. Let's do another bet. Let's do a parlay.
I don't know about that. Lost a lot of the money last time. What's the next game?
Let's do a three-team parlay this time. Let's not get greedy. Let's see if we find others.
What we did last time, we were terrible.
Because you were like, "Oh, Rams, it's a lock of the century." It wasn't. They lost, I think, or no, they didn't.
No,
lose,
they didn't lose.
They didn't
undefeated.
Cover. They just didn't cover.
They did not cover.
They did not. killing me. The Cardinals. Stupidly, it annoys me to say they're 1-4 against the 2-2-1 Vikings. Is that true?
They tied the Packers. Yeah, remember, 29-29.
Yeah, glasses. The Minnesota is favored by 10. The over-under is 43. I think Adam Thielen could have a big game here. Stephon Diggs should do well. The Vikings have a thing here, and it's around Dalvin Cook. You know, if Dalvin Cook is going to play, I think, what is the statement I saw where he said he only wants to play if he's 100%, because he's talking about, like, I can't be 70 or 80%. So I'm not so sure how effective he truly can be and how much they would want to use him.
He's definitely still going to be on a pitch count.
Yeah, so the pitch count stuff makes me worry. But then also the Cardinals offense, like, where are the trustable assets? Like, I mean, dude, I got David Johnson at a huge deal on FanDuel, and even you were kind of like, David Johnson, like, that's the guy. Larry is out. Larry is, I think, people have been considering cutting him in fantasy leagues right now.
He's banged up.
It's abysmal with the Cardinals.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, though. I feel like this is a game, this seems to be the trap game of the week. You know what I mean? Like, it seems so obvious. Cardinals are 1-4. They're not very good. You know, Minnesota is good. They had that one bad game against Buffalo that ruined everyone's Survivor year. But other than that, you know, they got beat by the Rams. The Rams are an amazing team. But they've had good games all the way around outside of that. Doesn't it feel like a trap?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. But rookie quarterback on the road. I totally see what you're saying.
Like Josh Allen.
Yeah, yeah.
Rookie quarterback on the road.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. I mean, this wouldn't be part of our parlay.
No, it definitely won't be part of any parlay I'm doing. So
if you take the Cardinals, you got to take the over, though.
I think if you take the Cardinals, you got to take the under. What? I don't think the Cardinals can point for point the Vikings. I'm not going to take the Cardinals anyway. I'm going to take Minnesota, and I'm going to take the under in this game.
I'm going to take Minnesota. I'm going to take Minnesota in the over.
Minnesota and the over. I don't like this one.
No, I don't like that
this,
one at
this
all.
This feels bad.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, it feels gross. I wouldn't want to touch this game with a 10-foot pole, so we won't. All right, we're going to go to break here in just a second, and when we come back, we've got to finish up. How many more games we got? We got a decent
bunch.
Yeah, we got a bunch of games we got to get to. I think we've got 2-3 more of the early games, then we'll get to the afternoon games into Sunday night and even Monday, where my team is going to play. No desire to make sure I'm around to watch it. I could care
got a fantasy draft anyway
less about any of it. So don't go anywhere. We're coming back with more. That's Scott Bogman. I'm Chris Welsh. You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Final segment, break it down the rest of week 6. We'll be back in just a minute.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends?
In This League.
In the dark.
What's up, guys? It is the final segment of In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thank you so much for sticking around with us, whether you've been listening.
For your endless love.
For your endless love. Your endless love for In This League. Whether listening on the podcast, if that's what you're doing, or you're listening to us live, even more kudos to you if you're listening to us live on FNTSY. We are finishing up breaking down, doing the overs and unders, and not to toot our own horn, but we did quite well last week, 10-4 on our over-unders, and I was 50%, 7-for-7 on my lines. Bogman, a little 6-for-8 on the lines. Don't listen to us on the lines. Which, by the way, the one I want to parlay bet was the Chicago line of 3.5 all day.
Yeah.
How about Seattle 2.5 too, Bogman? Let's take Seattle. Let's take Seattle 2.5. Let's take the Bears 3.5. What was another one we agree on? We don't agree on any other. Well, Atlanta we liked, but that seems like a trap.
Yeah.
Let's see if we, you know what? Let's see if we can build our parlay here.
I know one more I really like.
All right, well, let's get to this and let's see if we can. I think I see it. I don't think it's this game, but let's get through this. Let's see if we see these here. All right, next up, I'm moving so I can actually visually see things because I'm losing my vision. Come here, microphone. We have got losing my microphone. All right, we've got the Indianapolis Colts at the Detroit Lions, that the New York Jets. The Jets are favored by 1.5. The over-under is 45.5. Andrew Luck, big dog, throwing all the yards, all the pass attempts, no running game what to speak of. Isaiah Crowell essentially got over 50% of his production on the entire year last game. In his last game, he's at 390 yards, and
he might not even play this game too. He's still questionable.
He's all banged up. Exactly.
GTD.
I like Bilal Powell in this game, by the way, a decent amount. What do you think about this game? No running game for the Colts. It might could be heavy Bilal Powell. Talk to me about this.
I don't like any part of this game because I don't like betting on Sam Darnold to win a game. Just in general, rookie quarterback. Even if they're at home, even if it's against a porous Colts defense, Andrew Luck looked a lot better at the end of that Patriots game. The Colts had the 3 extra days to prepare for this game coming off the Thursday night game from last week. I don't know. I feel like this is overconfidence in the Jets' one win. So I'm going to take the Colts. And I'm going to go with the over in this game.
Okay, this isn't your confident one, right?
I'm not. No, no, no.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Because I'm not. I don't see any of that. I'm not going to take the Jets just because no. I will take the Colts in this game, but I'm going to take the under. Did you take the under?
I took the over.
You took the over. I'm going to take the under. I'm not sure how great this game is going to be overall. Though, interestingly enough, the over makes a lot of sense because there might not be much of a running game to speak of from either team. But
I mean, also, you know, young quarterback turnovers potentially for Darnold. So
yeah, Pal can get it, though. So let's move on to the next one, because Bogman, I don't know about you. This is the game I like a lot. Are you there?
Yeah. Are yeah, I'm waiting.
Okay.
I'm waiting to hear. I don't know which one you're talking about. You have to say it.
The Carolina Panthers
at
the Washington Redskins. I think we just built our parlay because I think I know where we're going. The 3-1 Panthers to the 2-2 Redskins. Washington is a 1-point favorite at home. Can we both say give us a Carolina all day?
Yeah,
day?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Call the bookie.
Coming off the bye week, too.
Call the bookie. Carolina.
What's the over-under?
44.5.
Okay. Carolina over.
Yeah. Carolina, I'm going to go with Carolina over as well. Christian McCaffrey, only 63 carries on the season, but 329 of them on the ground for yards-wise. Bunch of receiving. Devin Funchess is your leading receiver here across both teams. And as I said, the lowest number of passing touchdowns from a starting quarterback from the beginning of the season to now is Alex Smith.
I can't believe that. He was so good last year. Why not implement some of the stuff he was doing last year?
Remember all the people on the internet? Remember I told you about these guys that had Alex Smith as a fifth overall quarterback in drafts?
I mean, come on, dude. Like, you can't do that.
I wish I remembered who they were. I bet. I wonder if they're still around.
I was defending Alex Smith against Joe just because Alex Smith was QB4 last year overall.
Yeah, QB40 now.
I mean, he's really not good this year. Obviously, it's a new situation. So, but yeah, Carolina definitely coming off the bye with the extra rest, 2 weeks to prepare for Washington. I know it's a road game, but I'm still going to take the Carolina Panthers.
I like it. I built that parlay. I'm going to call our bookie. If not, I like that. I want to
go call your bookie.
Bears. What was it? Bears.
He's so confident he can't
Seahawks.
Even remember. Seattle and Carolina.
Yeah. Don't you like that?
Yeah, that's a good one.
I like that. What's that going to pay?
I have no idea. I'm not a bookie.
Oh, yeah. You don't know.
Obviously, sure. Yeah. With our picks.
Obviously, so. Yeah, that's true. All right, here's the final morning game, and then we'll get to these afternoon ones. We have the Bills.
Put that cap down.
Yeah, you heard that? I'm playing with caps, playing with beer bottles that have been drinking during this episode. Bills at the Texans. The Texans are favored by 10. The over-under is 41. Those lines kill me, dude. These low over-unders with a huge margin. Lamar Miller is a loser. DeAndre Hopkins is a winner. Will Fuller looks like he's go. He's a go. Kiki is going to also go. They got all their offensive weapons, so they don't need running backs.
But Watson is questionable.
Yeah, I think he should be fine. Watson should be fine. I don't buy the questionable tag with him. Procedural.
Questionable for quarterback means go anyway.
Yeah, that means go. Do you think they're going to try to establish Lamar Miller against the Bills? I feel like this is a game where they try to do it. I do. I honestly do.
Establish Lamar Miller, LOL, LOL.
Yeah, it's very LOL-ish.
God, I hate this game. I don't know how you can pick Buffalo with the way they've been playing.
No.
They had the good game against Minnesota. They have looked Cleveland Browns.
Same
ugly.
Record as the Texans, though.
Yeah. What do they have, 2 wins?
Yeah, both 2-3.
Who else did Buffalo beat?
I don't remember.
Tennessee last week. That's what it was. Or last week, 2 weeks ago. Houston can score points, so I'm going to take Houston, and I'm just going to take the over.
Yeah.
Like, when in doubt in the NFL, go towards the offense because the rules are skewed towards the offense. So.
Yeah, I'm with you. Give me the same. All right, afternoon games. We have got the Los Angeles Rams versus the Denver Broncos. The 5-0 Rams versus the 2-3 Broncos. The Rams are a 7-point favorite. Over-under is 51.5, so the expectation is points are to be scored. I think I had picked Jared Goff at one point, and I think I changed him out, or maybe I kept him, I don't remember, in DFS, because I do like the matchup for him. The wide receivers, though, kind of banged up. Cooks and Cooper Kupp, I think they both plan to
both
go.
Both practice, yeah, so they're good.
A little bit banged up, though. Todd Gurley, he is an absolute beast. On the Denver side, we've talked about this on the Black Book, that I think I posed a question, will Case Keenum be the quarterback at, like, week 10? And I think we all said no. So I think the ticking time bomb is with him. This is also not a great... This is what I think is interesting about the placement of this game. I don't know if this will be good or bad for Royce Freeman. I feel like they've got to try to establish him. But if they do it in this game, I wonder if they set themselves back. Like, I just feel like the Broncos are going to get eaten up.
Yeah, this isn't the game. I think this is a Rams easy win. And I think that you have to take the over in this one for some garbage time for Denver at the end. I think this is Rams get up big. They get up easy. And then, you know, Denver comes back with some garbage time to push this game over. Because it is a high over.
Any
but
altitude,
I could easily see this 42-21, something like that.
Any altitude stuff to come and play here?
I mean, I haven't heard of any altitude stuff in this game. The Rams are good no matter where they are. Doesn't matter.
I am going to pick. Oh, man.
We're definitely taking the Rams in the over. I already wrote it down. So
I kind of want to take Denver.
No, you don't.
Not to win.
Seven.
Just to cover. I'm going to go Rams. I'm going to go Rams in the over. Just get out of here.
Yeah, give me a break.
Just processing, man. Just going through the process. The Jacksonville Jaguars at the Dallas Cowboys. The 3-2 Jags to the 2-3 Cowboys. Jags are favored by 3. The over-under is 40.5. Ezekiel Elliott, he is the league leader in rushing yards with only 2 rushing touchdowns, though. Your leading receiver, Matt, think of this. Think of like the receivers a couple years ago that were here in this game. It was like Allen Robinson and, you know, Dez Bryant. And now it's Dede Westbrook. And Allen Hurns is here, but I haven't heard of him all season. Like, have you once seen Allen Hurns come across a ticker and you were like, oh, there he is? Not once have I seen him come across a ticker.
Not once.
TJ Yeldon, though, he is high up the list. You know, an interesting thing on the Fantasy Pros consensus top running backs for the week in PPR, TJ Yeldon, 10 overall, right behind Joe Mixon, above David Johnson, Sony Michel, Jordan Howard, Marshawn Lynch, 10 overall in PPR, TJ Yeldon ranks.
Looks really good, man.
Yeah, man.
I think this game is just, it's pathetic Cowboys offense. I don't know, like, I don't ever really feel bad for Cowboys fans, but this team has looked so terrible. They're terribly coached.
Terrible.
So I don't know. Like, it's sad to watch. I'm going to take Jacksonville in the under because Dallas can't score any points, and they can't score any points against anybody else. And I'm going to start with Jacksonville. So Jacksonville in the under for me. Pretty easy.
I'm going to go same. Yeah, I'm going to go Jacksonville in the under as well. All right, a couple more here. We have got the Baltimore Ravens at the Tennessee Titans.
Well, let's put this in the afternoon so no one can watch it. Yeah. What game are we going to watch in the afternoon,
well,
by the way?
Oh, yeah. I was about to say the Sunday night game. I would watch the Rams and Broncos for sure.
Okay. Is the Buffalo-Houston is early or is that afternoon?
That's early.
Oh. So the three games we get is Rams, Denver, Jacksonville, Dallas. And Baltimore, Tennessee, well, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's
Tampa Bay, Atlanta.
Those are the only two, and actually, for people that don't have the network stuff, it's the Fox game would be the Falcons Bucks and the Bengals Steelers would be CBS. So better pray to all that is holy that you're lucky to get those out here locally. We will not get the Tampa Bay one. We'll get the Cardinals and Vikings. Ugh. Cool.
Yeah. Well, luckily that game will be on Fox, so my CBS can't be interrupted.
All right. So, yeah, there you go. So the Ravens favored by 2.5, a road favorite. Over-under is 41.5. And it's, I still think it's kind of a mess overall with all this stuff. Alex Collins, isn't he a question mark in this game?
No, they said they're going to limit him, remember?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Ugh.
Gross.
I hate this game. I'm just going to take the over or the under out of principle. Both these teams love to play defense. They don't love to play offense very well. So I'm going to take, I don't know, I want to take Baltimore in this game. So I'm going to take Tennessee because it seems like every time I want to pick against Tennessee, they win the game. And every time I pick Tennessee, they lose to Buffalo. So Tennessee in the under.
I hate it. We're picking the same on this one. I'm going to go Tennessee in the under too. I can't imagine a world where Tennessee is 4-2, but I think, I don't know. I'm surprised the road favorite for Baltimore. I don't like them that much. And I think
Baltimore seems to play down to whoever they're playing against, unless they're playing Pittsburgh and then they stomp them.
Yeah.
So I feel like Tennessee stomped Buffalo in that first game. So
Tennessee is frustrating too, because I think they've got so many weapons that it just feels like when you watch them, they don't know how to utilize these. It's the I get these hands, man. You're like a big bear. You're these fangs and these claws, and it's just this little bunny, and you don't know what to do with these. With these, you don't know how to kill the bunny with these fangs. You're like a big bear, man. Like, that's what the Titans are.
Yeah, the Titans, they're definitely figuring it out still. I guess That's the nice way to say that.
So what did we do? We did Tennessee in the under.
Tennessee in the under. Yeah.
All right, the Sunday night game, this is a game of the week, is you've got the Kansas City Chiefs, the 5-0 Kansas City Chiefs, going to New England, the 3-2 Patriots. Patriots are favored by 3.5, the highest over of the week, 59.5. Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, those are your top two guys for sure. Kareem Hunt, James White, great running back duos. And the wide receiver stuff in New England is just wide open. I think Chris Hogan's been questionable. Josh Gordon is talked about, but doesn't produce a bunch. And Gronk has been kind of banked up. And Julian Edelman back just has opened up everything. So where do we start?
I believe they said that quarterbacks 25 and under in Foxborough are like 1-18 in the Belichick era. So I'm going to go New England, and I'm going to take the under in this game because the over is unbelievably high in this one. And I know the defenses have been bad. I just don't know if they're going to continue to be this bad. So, and somebody's going to have to try to run the ball to keep their defense on the sideline, right? So I think we're being a little overzealous with this high over. Two very good offenses, though.
So you went New England and the under?
Under, yes.
God, me too, man. Me too. I know. I don't like it. I feel like Patriots fans are going to feel like there's a trap, you know, because it's Kansas City, but it's at home in New England.
I got waxed by Kansas City last year, but I think that's also a little, I think Joe mentioned it on the Black Book, you know, that's a little revengey for the
I'm
Patriots.
Tempted to take Kansas City just because it could be a really, really close game. You know, this could come down to like a 2-point differential.
If Kansas City wins this game, then, you know, the odds for a Kansas City versus, you know, Chiefs-Rams Super Bowl are going to go through the roof.
Yeah, I mean, I'd still like it. All right, and then the final game is my lowly 49ers on Monday night. The 1-4 49ers, 0-3 on the road, are going into Green Bay to the 2-2-1 Green Bay Packers. The Packers are favored by 9.5. Boy, did this game look a lot different when they scheduled it. And the over-under is 46.5. Aaron Rodgers has been banged up. He even said he kind of had a little bit of a setback. But
they said he's going to have to wear a bigger brace.
Yeah, it's wild, which I hope doesn't affect the passing. It could have the Packers trying to run the ball a whole lot more, which I do think the 49ers can stop. And that's why I think Aaron Rodgers could have a big week. Hopefully, I haven't seen the status on the wide receivers of this moment, if Geronimo Allison is going to play or Cobb, but Devontae Adams should be good. So, I mean, what do you think? I think it's going to be a train wreck. And, you know, the self-deprecation aside, even there, I think Green Bay is going to run away with this. I think they're going to mud stomp them. And
Green Bay does like to ruin big lines, though. I'm going to take Green Bay.
I'm going to take Green Bay in the over.
I can take Green Bay in the under. I just think that with your Niners offense struggling to perform here, and with Aaron Rodgers, you know, having the setback, being more banged up than he was even a couple of weeks ago, I don't know that I'm going to hit both of these, but I'm way more confident on the under on this game than I am on Green Bay covering that 9.5-point spread. So because if Aaron Rodgers is really having a setback, then maybe he doesn't even play the whole game, you know, and I don't want to see Deshaun Kizer in it all. So I'm going to definitely take the under, but I'm going to take Green Bay because Niners just looked bad last week. So,
all right, there you go. Those are your lines. That is everything you need to know for week 6. And that is the show, my friends. If you guys want to interact with us, hit us up on Twitter @IsItTheWelsh, @BogmanSports. Go check us out over on Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army, where we've got tons of content. You can actually literally be interacting with us, texting with us in our GroupMe apps. And you can even get in on our secret shows and all the other fun stuff. It's a lot of cool, different stuff for you fantasy guys, and it's a different experience for everybody. So check it out, patreon.com/ITL Army, on Twitter @IsItTheWelsh and @BogmanSports. You guys know where to find the show if you miss any of it. For Bogman, I am the Welsh. This is In This League. We're out of here.
Play you.